Our sermon text for today comes from the book of Luke, Luke chapter 12, verses 32 through 40. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourself that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Be dressed ready for service and keep your lamps burning, like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at which hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. This is the word of God for the people of God. How do you wait? Are you good at waiting? Sounds like, from the chuckles, you're all about as good at waiting as I am. Waiting is difficult for most of us because we have this idea that waiting means we can't do anything. But with the advent of the smartphone, go into any office waiting room now, the doctor's office, the dentist, and they'll have a table with magazines on, and check them out every time you go in because none of them will be moved. They'll all be in the exact same place they were the last time you were there. And I go to the dentist every 6 months to have my teeth cleaned, and those magazines don't move. Because when people walk in, the first thing they do is pull out their iPhone or their whatever phone, and they start doing something, I don't know what it is, whatever they're doing. So I think we've gotten a little better at waiting, only because now we can do things. I know for me it's a lot easier to do things on my phone. I can answer emails. I can do all kinds of things. But God didn't give us an iPhone to help us when he talks about us waiting on him. So what does he mean? Does God mean that we as the church, once we become members of the church, we just sit back and wait? Say, okay, everything's done. I have my ticket to heaven, and now I'm just going to sit back and wait for God to come or God to send for me, and everything will be wonderful. I think that's part of the problem with the church today, is that we've got the idea that once we are ready, once we're ready, that we should just sit back and wait. Now, once again, this last couple weeks, I really feel like I've been preaching to the choir. You guys understand what it means to be in ministry. You understand what it means to be doing for other people and helping other people. You understand all of those things, but do we understand what God requires of us when it comes to our faith and growing in our faith? You should never be happy where you're at in your faith. You should never think, I know everything. I know all there is to know, and so I can just sit back and wait on God. Because that's not the truth. Christianity, the Christian life, is a life of faith, a life of action. If you look at the most important words in Christianity, you'll find that most of them are verbs. Believe, love, faith, In Greek, they're all verbs. That means they require an action. What does God require of us that we do to prepare for His coming? This passage talks about the servants waiting for the bridegroom or the master to come back from a wedding. He's there to participate in the wedding and then he's coming home. And what's the servant's job? To wait and open the door. Now, me as an American, my thoughts are, let him open the door himself. But that was the servant's job. The servant kept the door locked so that those who weren't supposed to come in couldn't come in. But when the master came back, the servant better be ready to open the door, because the master needed to come in. Are we ready? If Jesus were to come back today, how many of you would need to use your smartphone right now to change your plans? If Jesus were coming to your house today, now I think most of us would need to change our plans. At least maybe to prepare some food, we'd have to run home and clean up the house, and we'd have to do all of this stuff. Because if Jesus was coming to our house today, we'd do things differently. But the reality of it is, Jesus knows how you keep house anyway. And He's still going to come. I remember in my first full-time appointment, there was an older lady. She was just a sweetheart. But I could never visit her unless I made an appointment. Because when I went to visit her, she was fully dressed up just like she was going to church. The pastor dare not come into her apartment unless she was ready. And for me, it wasn't necessary. For her, she thought that was important, so I didn't pay much attention to it. But you know what? Are we prepared for Jesus' coming? What in your life would you need to change if Jesus were to come back today? Is everything as it should be? And I think for most of us, the answer is no. There are things we should change, things we would do differently. So how are we preparing and waiting for the Master to come? Are you spending time each day reading your Bible, spending time in prayer? Are you taking time out for God? I know as a pastor, one of the things I struggle with and I fight with is not getting so busy doing church stuff that I put God on the back burner. And that may sound funny, but if people are in the hospital, you need to go visit. If somebody dies, you need to go do counseling. You need to do plan for the funeral. There's all kinds of things you need to do. I need to prepare for next month's worship services. And now they tell me that I already have to start preparing for Charge Conference. And I can get so busy with doing things that I find out I don't have time for God. I have a wonderful friend who is a mentor of mine. He was actually my pastor when I went into ministry. And then one of the churches that I went to, he had been the pastor of. So it was kind of neat that we had served the same church. Although when I was there 8 years, he told me he was praying that I would be moved because he had only been there 8 years and he didn't want me to have more influence than him. So, as it was, I got moved. I didn't blame it on him, though. He doesn't have that kind of power. But we in the church need to prepare ourselves prepare ourselves for what God is doing. And this friend of mine got up at 5:56 every morning. Why 5:56? He said, because it's odd. It's an odd time. It's not 6, it's not quarter till, and it reminds me, why am I up at 5:56? Because that's my time with God. So he purposely made it something that would be different. We need to make sure we set aside time for God every single day in our lives. That doesn't mean that it always has to be the same. Some days I love to grab my guitar and just get a couple of praise songs out and sing. I try to do it when no one else is home so that they can praise too. But put on a CD of your favorite praise songs and just allow yourselves to listen to the words. Listen to a program on the radio where someone else is teaching about God to learn. We need to make sure we spend time preparing ourselves. Christianity is not a stagnant thing. It's something we need to continue to be growing at all of the time. We need to be growing in our faith, growing in our strength, so that when God leads us to things, we're prepared. So that when Jesus comes back again, there'll be no question that we're ready. We start out by first admitting that we need Jesus Christ, that we're sinners and without Him we have no hope. But that's not the end, that's only the beginning. We need to continue to grow in our faith, to grow to be more like Jesus Christ. I think most of you now who know me, have gotten to know me, know that I really like John Wesley's understanding of grace. And John Wesley says that sanctification, or the act of becoming holy, the act of becoming like God or set apart for God, is what we are to be doing as Christians. If we do that, if we spend our time serving God with all that we do and all that we have, putting things into perspective, then God will do the hard work. He'll help us to grow. He'll show us what in our lives needs to change. But then we have to have the courage to change it. That's probably the hardest part. We like the way we do things, especially as I look out here. Most of us are a little more, shall we say, seasoned. Which means we're a little more rutted. We're in our rut and we like our rut. We like the way we do things. But sometimes the way we do things isn't right. It needs to change. Sometimes it's fine. But that's part of growing closer to God, shows us what in our lives is good and what needs to change. Because I think as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus Christ, we need to always be growing. Always be striving to prepare ourselves for when Jesus comes or when He calls us home. We don't ever know when that's going to be. It might be tonight. It might be 1,000 years from now that Jesus comes back. But part of the job of the church is to prepare like He's coming tonight. Because He is coming. And when He comes, will we be ready? Will we be ready when Jesus comes? Because when the Master comes to the door, we'll open it and He will come in. look at your life. Look at what you do and how you do it. At everything. And ask yourselves, what would Jesus say about this? What would Jesus want to teach me about how I do this or how I do that? Now, don't get the idea that you can't do anything because the Bible doesn't say anything about fishing. Well, it does say about fishing, but not bass fishing. That I can't, I'm going to pick on somebody over here. I can't go bowling because the Bible doesn't say bowling's okay. God wants us to enjoy life. God wants us to do things we enjoy. Now, we all know that God doesn't like football, right? Especially the Steelers. That's a given. Is it wrong for us to enjoy things like that? No. I think of Tim Tebow. Just happened to pop into my mind because I saw he hurt his hand and now is going to have to, I guess, give up baseball. But he took what he was doing and used it as a way to share his faith. Yes, people harassed him and picked on him and made fun of him. So what? They did the same thing to Jesus. Enjoy your life. Enjoy the things that God has put in your life, but put them into perspective. Make Jesus first, and everything else will have its place. Be prepared, for the Master is coming. Amen.